So when was the last time you went to church, heard a preaching, and walked away astonished or amazed? Rarely? Ever? Has that ever happened to you? That's a sad state, right? We're probably doing something wrong as preachers then. So I'm going to tell you a story that I've told before about when that happened for me. So the year was 2000. It was the Jubilee year. That's a year that was called by Pope John Paul II as a very special year of celebration and freedom, actually. It's a biblical reality, the Jubilee year. And the year 2000, not just being the new millennium, he wanted to call a year of special favor, right? So there was big World Youth Day in Rome that I got to go to. But also at the local level, I was teaching at Billings Central, and there were Jubilee celebrations. So speakers and gatherings and all this stuff to proclaim a year of special favor for the Lord. And I went on an early Saturday morning. It was 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. I was in my early 20s. And the Bishop of Helena at the time, Bishop Morlino, was giving a teaching at a parish that no longer exists in Billings, Holy Rosary Parish. And I've never met him, heard some things about him, but didn't really know any bishops at the time or anything like that. So we're like, yeah, let's go, me and a couple buddies, right? Similar to some of the friendships you have here. We went and we listened to this guy. So first of all, he was a rather large bishop, right? And he was big in personality and in stature. And when he began, it wasn't mass. There was a reading from the Word of God and then his preaching. And he stood at the presider's chair and he had his mitre on and he had his pectoral cross out and he grabbed his crozier and he started tapping it on the ground like this, right? And then his big fist with his fisherman's ring, right, as the shepherd of a diocese, not Billings, but Helena. And he gets his fist like this, and then he just thunders, "Jesus Christ is real. He is risen from the dead, and he is real." And I'm sitting in the front row there with my buddies, and I'm like, whoa, what is this? A new teaching with authority, right? That was the power of the gospel. The essential content of the gospel, Jesus Christ, real and risen from the dead. And it was spoken with authority by a successor of the apostles, the bishop. And that changed my life. That led to a relationship with Bishop Morlino that ultimately led to me discerning to enter seminary, that ultimately led to me becoming a priest for the Diocese of Helena. And so I want to talk about that statement. See, the thing is, it's not just those words, because I can tell you, Jesus Christ is real. He's risen from the dead, he's real. And you're like, well, great, thanks. The authority that Bishop Morlino had was unique. It wasn't that he was just a good public speaker, and he was. He was excellent. He was an excellent preacher. And it wasn't just that he said it with force or, you know, certain verve and passion. It was more than that. It wasn't that what he said made sense, even though he was very good at connecting the truths of our human existence with the truths of the faith. He spoke with authority. Now that word, because it comes up in the gospel tonight, is a Greek word. Exousia is the Greek word that's used there. And that literally means out of one's substance, ousia. You see it if you know the technical terms in the Nicene Creed. Homoousios, right? Of the same substance. We say consubstantial. That's a Latinization of the Greek, right? But exousia, out of his substance. See, the thing is, the authority that the bishop had, and our current bishop, I believe, has this as well, comes not just from what he knows or what he's experienced, but what has penetrated into his being, his substance. And when someone knows Jesus Christ that way, not just up here, not just having studied and read, knowing the history or whatever else, right, but knows him as a real person, then they're changed. And then when they speak about Jesus, they're speaking about a real person who has changed their lives. That's the authority with which a true believer, and especially a prince of the apostle, or an apostle, right, a successor to the apostles, right, what a good bishop will speak with. Out of his substance, not just on the surface, but out of who he is. See, for Bishop Morlino, Jesus Christ wasn't just an academic exercise. And he wasn't just a good moral teacher, even though he was a great theologian and thinker, right? He knew his theology in an academic way. He knew the truth of the faith and how connected to life, the moral teachings, how they were coherent. It was deeper than that, though. It had to be deeper. It was a real relationship that had real consequences in his life. And he knew someone who had claimed him. And then, as he spoke, he was drawing other people to that same someone, so that same someone could claim them. Because the authority I encountered on that day in 2000 that changed my life was not the authority of the Bishop of Helena. It was the authority of Jesus Christ, risen from the dead and real. It's the same authority that we encounter in the gospel today. Jesus enters the synagogue and he begins to preach. And the people notice something different going on. Mark tells us, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, just a little note here. It's not that Jesus was just a better preacher than the scribes. It's that he was doing something categorically different. See, the scribes, they would appeal back ultimately to the Torah, to the Mosaic law. And that was the source of their authority. They'd appeal back to that. But Jesus was doing something different. He was appealing not to the Mosaic law, not to the Torah, but to himself. He was speaking ex ousia, from his own substance. And you see it other places in the gospel. Jesus quotes the Torah, the Mosaic law. He says, you've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. You see, he takes the scriptures and he says, yeah, that's fine, but I'm going to tell you something new. It'd be like me saying, Jesus says this to you guys, but I say this. Like, what authority do you have to do that? Right? And that's why they're astonished, because they haven't heard this before. And then Jesus backs up his preaching with his action. He casts out a demon, and the demon is under his authority, because the authority that Jesus is proclaiming, manifesting, that he's living from, is his divine substance. He's different. He's not a preacher talking about God. He's God himself. And his word then is effective. It moves the hearts of the people who are there, and it casts out demons. It has power to change realities. Now listen, friends, that same authority hasn't departed the church, because the church is the continuation of the incarnation. That Jesus Christ in his authority still moves hearts, still changes realities. His word, as the author of the letter to the Hebrews says, is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why we need to be in the word. We need to read scripture. And in some ways, we need to let the scriptures read us, so that it can change our lives, the truth that's found there, the authority of the Word of God. It's also why the Eucharist changes lives. What happens on that altar? The Word of Jesus Christ, His words, His authority changes the substance, the ousia of the bread, into the substance of His very person, the ousia of His body, His blood, His soul, His divinity. That Word, His power, His authority changes realities. And it's meant to change our lives. Now, you're like, okay, that's nice. What practical impact does it have on my life? Well, as I prayed with the scriptures, there's two words from St. Paul's letter that we have in the second reading that spoke to me, and I know are relevant to you all. And the two words are distraction and anxiety. Distraction and anxiety. Paul ends his reading saying, I want you to be able to adhere to the Lord without distraction. The word means literally to pull apart, to distract. Think about its opposite, to attract. Distract means to be pulled apart. I'm not just talking about like how we get distracted in our attention. Like, oh, look, there's a squirrel. No, we're being pulled apart as a world, as a country, and probably even in your family. We're being pulled apart. And Jesus' word of authority can bring us back together because it's based on His love and His truth, which comes not just from some nice thinker, but from God Himself, out of His very substance. And then anxiety. It's a scourge right now. St. Paul says, I don't want you to be anxious about anything. Have no anxiety at all. Well, that's nice and easy to say. So I was thinking about anxiety. It's different than just being afraid. It's like this constant, unrelenting cloud of doom that hangs over people. That there's no foundation to things, that we're just falling and falling and bad things are gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I looked up the etymology of the word. It means literally to choke or squeeze. So many people in these months, this past year, have felt choked and squeezed. But Jesus, He's the remedy to that malady. He is. He is. Except we have to listen to Him. The psalm responds, if today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. It's not just hearing, it's listening, right? Listening, the Latin word to listen is obedire, to obey. That Jesus who speaks in His word, that Jesus who speaks in the very action of the Mass as He becomes our spiritual food, as He gives His ousia to us in the Eucharist. We have to listen to that. If we listen, then we live differently. The things that cause us to be so distracted don't have the same claim. The things that can cause us to be so anxious don't have the same claim, because the foundation that we build upon is none other than Jesus Christ. His love, His truth, His power, His strength. He is the one who gathers us. He is the one who banishes our anxieties and gives us the theological virtue of hope. So my brothers and sisters, believe it when I say that Jesus Christ is real, that He is risen from the dead and He is real. Let His authority be authoritative in your life. Follow Him. Say yes to Him. Listen to His voice, because He speaks today and always. Jesus Christ, our Lord, the same yesterday, today, and forever.